You know, it just dawned on me, J.J. Abrams, the director that's doing Star Wars, The Force Awakens, he was also the director of Star Trek, Into Darkness. And if you remember, that film opens up with a young Captain Kirk and Mr. Spock, and they're on planet Nibiru. Just thought of that. The planet Nibiru. And they're trying to fix a volcano on that planet or something. It also should be noted that, now this is what I find interesting. In 2012, and you know, you got to hand it to NASA. There are a lot of people out there who are coming up with a lot of weird things about Planet X. And they still come up with weird things about Planet X. And that's why some people are like, Planet X, delusional, nonsense. No, not anymore, okay? Not that Planet X, not that I'm going to tell you the Planet X is going to come into our atmosphere and kill everybody in the next, you know, 20, 30 days. No. I still am trying to figure this out. Because in 2012, NASA stated emphatically that there was no scientific evidence to support the existence of Nibiru, and NASA even released a statement refuting the claims after NASA was accused of conspiracy to cover up the Nibiru threat to avoid mass panic. Everybody said that. I don't remember anybody saying it. I didn't say this. December 21st, 2012 was going to be when Nibiru showed up. No. I could have told you that. Because, look, if Nibiru... Oh, wait a minute. Okay. If Nibiru was to show up, we'd be experiencing massive earthquakes. If Nibiru was to show up, we'd be experiencing strange weather. At least that's... If Nibiru was to show up, we'd be hearing weird sounds from the sky. If Nibiru was to show up, we would be having mass panic, cataclysm, and fireballs coming down and asteroids coming close to hitting the planet because of the sweeper effect. I haven't seen Nibiru in the sky. But there are plenty of people tell me they have. And plenty of people tell me that it was seen in Antarctica. And plenty of people tell me, look, I think it'd be a lot worse if Nibiru was super close. Right now, if it's out there somewhere, I haven't seen it. But don't stop. Don't stop there. The reason why I'm doing this show in the first place is because of a Washington Post article that I read where two scientists in Chile, actually no, a group of scientists in Chile actually found two potential planets that fit the bill of Planet X, fit the bill of Nibiru. And that's why I decided I want to talk about Planet X again, because I just think that there's this idea of a killer planet. And I'm, you know, Star Wars is coming. We know about the Death Star. The Death Star has been destroyed twice. But the Death Star is a representation of the Destroyer Star or the Destroyer Planet or the Dwarf Planet Star, Destroyer, Destructo, Apollyon, Abaddon, Destructive Force. And this is why, partially why I'm talking about this, because I'm thinking this is something that's going to be seated in your head if you go see Star Wars. It's always been seated. From the beginning, George Lucas called the show Star Killers. So, and he had in his mind this idea of a super, super weapon that was in the shape of a planet, that if it got near a planet or a moon, boom, it'd be gone. Zachariah Sitchin said the same thing about Nibiru, Planet X. It's a very, very frightening thing. It's like a moon, but it's not a moon. It's a dwarf star that's coming. It has an orbit of about, I don't know, it's just every so often, every 36,000 years or so, this thing is supposed to come into our solar system and wreak havoc. And there's so many things now that are indicating that maybe, just maybe, there's one out there close by. And as I said before, there was the, what was the satellite? It was called, not a satellite. It wasn't a satellite. It was the, they called it the ALMA. Yeah, called the ALMA. And it's been like 32 years. First of all, back in, I think, was it 1985, maybe something like that, there was a discovery that said they saw something about the size of Jupiter that was out there they called Planet X. And then, I think it was 3 days ago, there was a headline that said, scientists claim they found elusive Planet X. Doubting astronomers are in an uproar. And this was on the Washington Post. This isn't some strange website that, you know, says that they're giving you the truth. No, this is the mainstream paper, or mainstream website. Scientists claim they found elusive Planet X. Doubting astronomers are in an uproar. Says here, a new discovery of not one but two planets has science once again arguing over Planet X's existence. It's the Atacama Large Millimeter Submillimeter Array, the ALMA, which is a telescope that's in the desert of Chile. Researchers say they have come across two extremely large objects skimming through the outskirts of the solar system, both candidates for Planet X, or the mythological Planet X, the hypothetical Planet X, now probably no longer hypothetical. Who knows how far it's out there, but they're talking about it, and they're saying, wow. But then, of course, there are a bunch of people saying, come on, don't get your hopes up. I don't think anybody has their hopes up for Planet X. But if it comes near us, we're dead. We're going to die. We don't want that coming near us. But, you know, you never know.
Nibiru is a planet listed in the writings of Zachariah Sitchin. According to Sitchin's interpretation of Babylonian religious texts, a giant planet called Nibiru passes by Earth every 3,600 years and allows its sentient inhabitants to interact with humanity.
If you're sitting up there in your silly little spaceship, just remember who's standing in your way.
Can you hear them? All these people who lived in terror of you and your judgment. All these people whose ancestors devoted themselves, sacrificed themselves to you. Can you hear them singing? Oh, you like to think you're a god. You're not a god. Come on, then. I saw the birth of the universe, and I watched as time ran out, moment by moment, until nothing remained. No time, no space, just me. I walked in universes where the laws of physics were devised by the mind of a madman. And I have watched universes freeze and creations burn. I have seen things you wouldn't believe. I have lost things you will never understand. And I know things, secrets that must never be told, knowledge that must never be spoken. So come on, then!
Lewis, and you are listening to Ground Zero. The numbers to call tonight, 888-673-3700. That's 888-673-3700. Nibiru, the Planet X, is saying now they may have found something, at least two things, that can actually be or have all the signs of being what Planet X is, or what Zachariah Sitchin said that Planet X might be. We've had plenty of predictive programming about Planet X. There's also a movie called The Tree of Life where they talk about the possibility of a planet colliding with ours, an apocalyptic, and of course, like I said, Melancholia. We got, what was the other one? The Other Earth, I think it's called. And of course, Star Trek, Force Awakens, Mr. Spock, Captain Kirk on Planet Nibiru. Of course, Star Wars, the earlier versions have a huge Death Star, which is supposed to destroy an entire planet. Speculating and theorizing about the existence of yet undiscovered planets in our solar system has been bounced around for centuries. Prior to each new discovery of another outer planet, we've heard of the Kepler planets, right? Well, we hear about these all the time, about these outer planets that may have life on them. We heard about the Dyson structures that may be borrowing energy from a star, creating a planet that may have life on it. I mean, this has all been happening for a long time. I mean, the idea of speculation about life on other planets or how about a planet that may bring life or take life, the idea of a planet where God lives, those are some things that have always, there's the city of God idea too. There's always this story about how there must be a planet out there where the gods dwell. And there was the winged planet. Sumerians talked about the winged planet. That was what Zachariah Sitchin called the planet Nibiru. And these discoveries about these outer planets or these other planets have been ridiculed by mainstream science. However, you know, if science decide to do a little mathematics and say that a planet may have life on it, then we all pay attention. But the most controversial, undiscovered or maybe discovered now, or what they once called the hypothetical planet operating within our solar system, is Nibiru. They call it the destroyer or Planet X. Now, people first heard of Planet X in 1976 when Zachariah Sitchin wrote the book The 12th Planet. as one of the few scholars able to read and interpret the Sumerian clay tablets, he was showing that, well, he utilized and interpreted a lot of the ancient texts to make a highly plausible case for the existence of Planet X coming closest to the planet every 3,600 years. Now, the Sumerians lived over 6,000 years ago in what is today modern Iraq. They are credited as the first known civilization on Earth, inventing mathematics, writing, agriculture, law, schools, astronomy, astrology, all of that. Zechariah Sitchin's apparent scholastic training gave him the credibility necessary to convince a portion of the world of his theories, including the stories of the Anunnaki and the return of the planet Nibiru, which is called Planet X. Now, beyond the studies of Sumerian mythologies, we learn that the Anunnaki served as gods of many systems within our universe. That is, of course, if you read the concordance and translations of the King James Bible, where one God created the heavens and the earth, and how a plural group of beings served alongside this God, who in Hebrew tradition was not named. Moses is told a number of things, too. He's told that the sacred name, or the Tetragrammaton, or YHWH, had not been revealed even to Abraham. However, he was the God, or he was the one God, who was, who is, and who still is, or shall be, in the future. Throughout the Old Testament, a word is used by Solomon to remark about the abode of God called the Olamim, or sanctuary, and the place in heaven everlasting. Sadly, most interpretations of the scriptures say that the olam, or an olam, is a tent. Others say it's a tabernacle. So if Solomon wants to talk about the sanctuary of God in heaven, or the olam, or the tabernacle where God resides, some believe that this olam word is a word for something we now call a system in heaven or a solar system. Namely, olam is the place in heaven where God lives. It's a place of the Most High. It's the place of the Most High in heaven, the heavenly host, a place or planet that God and his servants live on. This is known as the heavens of heavens, or the holiest of holies, a realm beyond our solar system. No less than 11 times do we see in the Bible that the Bible refers to God's home or kingdom as an olam. An olam expands to many worlds, and as is said in the scripture, in my Father's house are many mansions. And if you look at the earlier translation, it says, in my Father's olam are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And that's in the book of John. Now, some say that the olamim, or the olam, is the equivalent of the Mesopotamian winged planet Nibiru. Sumerian literature speaks of the winged planet Nibiru as an olam, or, once again, the everlasting heaven of heavens, the everlasting tabernacle of where God lives. The celestial planetary gods, or the Nibiru, live on this winged planet, and they are, according to the histories, the first and the last, or the primumaton. They're called the primumaton. God leads their various missions, and the return of the Olam of God has been foretold, and this is part of 19th century theories that actually precede the theories of Sitchin. The idea of Planet X, or Nibiru, or the everlasting tabernacle of God, has been preserved and recorded in the celestial mythos for nearly thousands of years. 300,000 tablets cover the very idea of a winged planet. Some call it the city of God, some call it the tabernacle of God, some call it the heavens of heavens, or the heavenly heaven. But throughout time, there has been a story in many pantheons where gods like Apollo, Osiris, Horus, Krishna, Hercules, Jesus, and Quetzalcoatl all come from an area that is located beyond the sun, or from some unknown olamim that is not of this world, some unknown olamim, or unknown tabernacle that is in the skies. And these ancient texts and biblical proofs of the old Maseroth, which of course is the ancient astronomy, or the ancient astrology, along with astronomy, These things are ridiculed in most theocratic and scientific circles. Why? Well, in theocracy or theology, they say that, well, these are not canon. They weren't in the Bible, except the Bible alludes to some of these things, which makes it even more confounding and confusing because they opted to leave it out of the Bible as they were translating it for King James. They left it out of the Bible when they were voting on certain scripture to put in during the time of Constantine, but that was later on, the bishops and all those people gathering together to think about the books, and of course King James had his Bible. But there were many scientific, or at least a lot of science in the Bible that was left out. A lot of things that pointed to the first creation, the pre-Adamic creation. Books by Enoch, and also a number of things that were talked about long before Adam came on the scene, because Adam, they say, was the first creation. However, this argues that he was not the first creation. There was creation before him, birds and beasts and things like that. And there are also birds and beasts that we hear about it that we consider mythological. And so we're looking at all of these scientific circles, these theocratic circles, and each group has their own reason for dismissing the ideas because they're not directly from the Bible, or that they challenge the foundations for planetary science, which, by the way, that's changed many times over the centuries. And there are many times where I've been watching shows like National Geographic and others that say, what we're about to discover is going to topple archaeology forever. And you never hear anything more about it. Or these scrolls we found buried deep with it, when they say, well, this is going to change the way we view Jesus. Or does it change the way? No, it doesn't change anything. Hasn't changed a damn thing. And so people, they say to themselves, well, if no one else agrees, then probably it's not true. But not necessarily. I mean, if you look at something that is a continuous mythology or continuous legend, then you would say that, Planet X, of course, let's just say it's hypothetical for the moment. Let's just say that it's not real. But let us say, though, that something huge in the ancient histories passed over the earth that caused the earth to tremble, that caused the earth to shake, the oceans to spill forward, and that they didn't know what to call it except a winged planet, comet, or asteroid that came close to the planet. Now, over time, and with Zechariah Sitchin's book, we've learned that probably there was a planet, Nibiru, Planet X, that is or was passing over the Earth at one time. So, and as I said before, if you look at history, and if you look at some of what the old Catholic fathers were saying about space and the possibility of aliens or life on Mars, or all, it all checks out, okay? It checks out because there were times when people used the telescopes and they looked up in space and they saw things were anomalous, and they didn't have science fiction to tell them what to call it. Okay. They saw these things and they were saying, oh, I see now. Let's go back in time to the Bible and see if they talk about, okay, Olamim. There we go. It's the tabernacle of God. That's where God lives, up in heaven, somewhere on a sphere. And we've talked about those spheres before, the idea of the spheres. Somewhere out in space, there are these spheres. And Cygnus talks about the spheres. Where did they find those, that Dyson apparatus, the Dyson sphere? They found it up in near Cygnus. Cygnus, Orion, all these places where the generations of gods dwell. Nibiru, Planet X. For Mormons, it's Kolob. There are a number of names that they give to this planet, or this place, or this star, this dwarf star. And see, there are plenty of other examples I could give you that science changes its mind over and over again about planets and where they are. Pluto could be probably the glaring example, because Pluto was relegated in 2006 to a minor dwarf planet, but it had been a planet since 1930. It was a planet, and then they changed it. And they can change their minds about anything, whether it be Planet X or Planet Pluto or Dwarf Pluto, or whatever they want to call it these days. I'm Clyde Lewis. You're listening to Ground Zero. So, as I said earlier, people will dismiss Planet X, and they'll do it because, there's so many wild theories about it, so many wild ideas about it. And some people wait with such glee, this apocalyptic doom will come at our doorstep sometime soon. In fact, they're saying it's going to happen early in the 21st century. Well, I hope not. I'm still breathing early in the 21st century, so I don't think that'd be a good idea, but the fact that, they're continually finding planets lurking just beyond our solar system and trying to ascertain their orbits and their depth, it's astounding that these things are being discovered. And you can dismiss them all you want, but as I said before, I mean, they didn't even find Pluto until 1930. And then it had been classified as a planet until 2006, and it was actually brought down to dwarf planet status. So, and then, of course, they used a lot of what Pluto was doing to actually describe why we're seeing wobbles in Uranus and Neptune's respective orbits. So we have plenty of errors that happen in calculating precise positions of known planets. And some hold enduring patterns, and later they have confirmation that for cause or whatever effect happens, they have wobbles or they're not necessarily perfect orbits, and so they have to recalculate. For over a century, scientists have debated that yet more major planets and dwarf planets belonging to our solar system are still out there in space waiting to be found and existing anomalies to be explained. It's not over yet with our solar system. It's not over yet with the orbits. Who knows what we're going to find? I mean, a lot of people can't contemplate the idea that somewhere in the Jovian system or the systems near Saturn, there could be a planet hiding there. Other could it be a whole armada of spacefaring sailors, you know, or military or something out there that could be hidden, and we wouldn't find it, take us forever to find it because it's so huge. Back in 1940, Chilean astronomer Carlos Muñoz Ferrada predicted accurately that the powers that be would attempt to cover up Planet X when it comes barreling towards the Earth. Ferrada referred to Nibiru Planet X as a comet planet because it has the size of a planet but the speed and elliptical orbit of a comet. On December 31st, 1983, a Washington Post article entitled Possibly as Large as Jupiter, Mystery Heavenly Body Discovered, and it said the following, quote, a heavenly body possibly as large as the giant planet Jupiter and possibly so close to Earth that would be part of the solar system has been found in the direction of the constellation Orion by an orbiting telescope aboard the U.S. infrared astronomical satellite. So mysterious is the object that astronomers do not know if it is a planet, a giant comet, or a nearby protostar that never got hot enough to become a star. A distant galaxy so young that it's still in the process of forming its first stars, or a galaxy so shrouded in dust that none of the light cast by its stars ever gets through. The truth is stranger than fiction, as this report was not on the internet and was actually reported in hard copy news to let the world know that someday we would be seeing this planet or the arrival of this huge celestial body very soon, and this planet known as Planet X. Quoted this, it says, and this is another quote from the article. The most fascinating explanation of this mystery body, which is so cold it casts no light and has never been seen by optical telescopes on Earth or in space, is that it is a giant gaseous planet as large as Jupiter and as close to Earth as 50 trillion miles. While that may seem like a great distance in Earthbound terms, it is a stone's throw away in cosmological terms. So close, in fact, that it would be the nearest heavenly body to Earth beyond the outermost planet, Pluto. The weird thing is no one spoke of it again or since. The idea has now been long forgotten, except that 32 years later, in fact, just a few days ago, a recent discovery published in the same Washington Post has now rekindled speculation that there is a Planet X. In fact, there may be two of them. We once thought we were a binary system. Now we may be a trinary system. Something to think about. 888-673-3700. That's 888-673-3700. More to come. Keep it here on Ground Zero. I'm Clyde Lewis, and this is Ground Zero. So in the first hour, I was kind of free-thinking a bit about Planet X. Nibiru, the destroyer planet, the Nibiru cataclysm, all those things that, you know, that doom stuff that comes with Planet X. If it comes anywhere near us, we're in big trouble. We're in deep cosmic doo-doo if this happens. Well, a lot of people are saying it's on its way, and, you know, for the longest time, people have, like, poo-pooed the idea because everybody says, it's coming, we're waiting. And then, of course, 2012 happened, and NASA got all jerky about it. They said, it's not coming. Got all mad and said, anybody who tells you there's going to be doom on December 21st, 2012, I don't know how many people said the Planet X was coming on that day. Maybe a few did. I didn't, but maybe a few did. And so, you know, a lot of people, I think, went, Planet X, yeah, whatever. Well, a couple days ago, something happened where this brought, it always happens, I don't know, maybe it's because Star Wars is coming out, and we think of Death Stars, we think of all this stuff, and of course, there's been plenty of movies that have dealt with this. There was a movie called Melancholia that was released in theaters back, 3 years ago. Another Earth, Tree of Life, all these dealing with the possibility of another planet coming into our solar system or coming into our system and making us all, making the Earth go all topsy-turvy and crazy, changing the magnetic field and either killing us all or enlightening us all or beaming us all aboard the happy planet and taking us back to where God lives. The situation is that while none of this is happening at the moment, there was a new report that was released in the Washington Post about how the scientists in Chile, using an observatory in Chile, have discovered not one, but two possible candidates for Planet X. And they're submitting it now for peer review. But, of course, a lot of scientists say, calm down, it's really nothing. So when I came in, I love to talk about Planet X because the idea is terrifying. It's also fascinating at the same time. So the only person I could think of that is, pardon the expression, a master about Planet X is Marshall Masters. Now, he's been on the program before, and it's amazing we got a hold of him, and he's coming on tonight because Marshall Masters is a former CNN Science Features news producer. He's a freelance writer, television analyst, and publisher of YaoUSA.com. And since 1999, he has been researching Earth changes, also Nibiru flyby-related topics, including sustainable survival communities, catastrophic crop circles, impact events, future technologies, all this stuff. It's coming, and Marshall's here to tell us about it. I'm so happy. It's been so long since I've spoken with you, Marshall, but so good to have you on the program. I know that Planet X is one of those things that I just don't talk about that often because news is kind of scarce, but you've been doing this since 1999. What can you tell me about this new report from Chile?
Well, I think you really nailed it with, I was reading your article, and for your listeners out there, walking in Nibiru Wonderland is absolutely fabulous. I just loved reading this.
Did you just love the graphic of Santa Claus coming to Earth as it's being destroyed? I just thought it was kind of...
Yeah, actually, that was a nice touch.
I know.
I like that. Especially he's flying over the
capital.
You know, the house of suppression, as I call it.
And, you have to laugh because it's so scary. But go ahead, Marshall. Go ahead.
Yeah, it is. But, you know, you have one. It's towards the bottom of the article.
Sure.
And this is the most pithy observation I have seen in this topic for a very long time. And I think it really frames our conversation tonight. And I quote you, "The marriage of science and politics now has created a schism. And the other problem that throws itself in the entire mix is religion." And you've really nailed it, because this is what's happened here. And as we're investigating what these scientists operating out of the ALMA Observatory have found, it stopped being science.
Right.
Very quickly. All right. And what we have is disinformation. And the point is, why have the disinformation? So, if you don't mind, what I'd like to do is reverse engineer this story with you tonight.
Okay.
And because, first off, what we're going to show, and I'm going to go through these, there's two articles on the Washington Post about Planet X recently. Now, the one that was written by a gentleman called Joel Achenbach on September 3rd is rather cogent, very well done, titled, "Is There a Planet X, a Massive Perturber Hidden Beyond Pluto?" So the Washington Post has broached the issue, and they've done it in this article in September in a very intelligent way. It's very well written. Now, these guys discover stuff in ALMA in Chile. And now we have an article by someone else, a Sarah Kaplan. And, you know, I think for the rest of the interview, I'm just going to refer to her as Poison Pen.
Okay.
All right. And so Poison Pen titles her article, "Scientists claimed they found elusive Planet X. Doubting astronomers are in an uproar." All right.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we're going to take a look at this. But keep in mind where Washington, D.C. is located along a coastline. Now, what I am in my book, Being in It for This Species, The Universe Speaks, what I talk about is the coastlines are going to be hammered. If you're living along a coastline,
bye-bye.
You're not going to do well.
No.
Okay? How long can you tread water?
And I do. Thank you, Marshall, for scaring me. I live near a coastline. But go ahead.
You do? Yeah, I'm sorry about that. Which one?
Pacific Coast. We're in Oregon, so we're 80 miles due east of the Pacific Coast, Northwest Pacific Coast. Seaside is what it's called, and also we have a number of beaches. It's not necessarily, we just call it the coast, because it's not really a beach. It is a beach, but it's not. We don't have like a beach lifestyle. We just have these beautiful areas that are just full of sand, and the ocean kind of creeps up and goes back, creeps up and goes back. That's what we have in the Northwest.
Well, you've got two things going for you. One, their nearest nuclear reactor to you is the Columbia Generating Station in Richland, Washington. Mm-hmm. And you're definitely outside of the threat area there.
Mm-hmm.
And two, there's no fracking near you. Unfortunately, does the word Cascadia ring a bell?
Oh, yes, the Cascadia fault zone. We live in that. The Ring of Fire, we live in that. And we got Mount St. Helens to the north of me and Mount Hood due east of me, which, of course, people say that Mount Hood has no intention of blowing up anytime soon. But wink, wink, nudge, nudge, they said the same thing about Mount St. Helens. So go ahead.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, you might want to be looking a little to the east if I were you, but, you know,
yeah.
Have that conversation another time.
Okay.
And I'd be happy to do that with you. I do relocation webinars for folks, and I help them with relocating, and it's always the same thing if they live along a coastline. How long can you tread water?
Sure.
But that brings up another issue. All right. Now, how many times have you heard people say, well, if it was really coming, this was really going to happen, the government would tell us?
No, I don't think they'd tell us. I think they would probably be on the first Jeff Bezos rocket to the breakaway civilization in a heartbeat. That's what I think would happen.
Absolutely. They're going to leave us. You know, Emmerich in the movie 2012, the film was Hollywood high candy in terms of the disaster. I mean, these guys are driving through a magnitude God knows what earthquake, and they're having a conversation in the car. And I lived through Loma Prieta earthquake in 89, and I'm going, oh, like, no, no, no. It don't work this way, Bunky.
No, it doesn't.
But this guy Emmerich, you know, he's kind of a little bit of a rogue. And if you get past all the eye glitter and the candy, and you look at the subtext, what he shows you are the elites and exactly how they think, exactly how they operate, and exactly what they do. And what they do in that movie, they're doing now. Okay.
Uh-huh.
And in that movie, what happens to about 99.99% of humanity? They don't know they're dying until the day they die.
Correct. They're not told anything. They're not told that, they say, don't panic. And that guy says, when they tell you not to panic, that's when you should panic.
Absolutely. Great line from that, you know. But my favorite was the little Chinese grandmother who said, we're all children of the earth. I mean,
mm-hmm.
That went straight to my heart. And the thing here is, take a long-term view. If you are the elites, and you know this thing's coming through, it's going to wreak havoc on the planet, and your main thing is not saving the species. The species will survive.
Right.
The species will rebuild.
Yes.
The species will go to space. Take this to the bank. It's about maintaining control. You're ruling. I mean, think about it. 8 people in the world have as much combined wealth as the lower 3.5 billion put together. 8 people as wealthy as 3.5 billion. All right.
Mm-hmm.
So we literally live in a planet of princes and paupers, and the princes want to keep it that way. Now, we are, you know, we are like tilapia. We breed prodigiously. All right.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, just give us a jug of wine, a little bit of Viagra, and we can work wonders. So,
okay. I got to take a break right now, but we will be right back with more. This is a great conversation, especially I've talked about the breakaway civilizations before, and this is amazing that you even say that perhaps they are already preparing, if not preparing, for this. And there was an article that I want to dig up that I want to share with you. I saw today about... I think it was Musk. He said something about how we should get off this planet now before it blows. And I don't know why he said, I don't know why that's sticking in my head, but it is. I hope I can find it and talk to you about this. It's amazing you bring this up because of a headline that I read today that got me thinking. This is something we really need to talk about, Planet X, and whether or not it's coming or whether or not some anomaly in space is coming. So we'll talk more with Marshall Masters right here on Ground Zero. 888-673-3700. We'll be back. I'm Clyde Lewis. You're listening to Ground Zero. Tonight, Marshall Masters is with us to talk about Planet X. And the reason why is because there's another article now in the mainstream which talks about Planet X or what may be a discovery of at least 2 planets that may fit the bill of what Planet X has always been said to be. And we want to kind of clarify what is information and disinformation on this case. You were talking earlier, Marshall, about how, like in the film 2012, the elites have already planned a way to leave. I saw an article today, and I finally found the headline. It says, it's actually Elon Musk says, he says, we must get to Mars before World War III kicks off. Elon Musk warns religious extremism and nuclear attacks will prevent us from landing on the red planet. Back to that idea, we throw something in the mix, it's religion. He says, mankind may only have a brief window to set foot on Mars before a disaster such as a third world war makes it no longer possible. His company is preparing to announce its ambitious plans for rocket and spacecraft technology to carry humans to the red planet. So he's urging the migration, but I don't think I'll be able to afford that ticket. How about you?
I don't have the frequent flyer miles.
No, and that's the problem is that, you know, and it makes you wonder if, and we've speculated this before, you know, they have to do something to cover up the fact that they may have been doing it already. And there are a lot of people who say that there's been a secret space program or some other breakaway civilization that's already established itself out there in space somewhere. Do you believe that?
Well, that's possible. What I can tell you with certainty is that for many years I do what's called relocation analysis for people. They tell me where they want to go, where their bunker is going to be situated, and then I give them an assessment of where they're at, just like we did when we were starting. And the top 2% or income earners are not going, well, gee, I can't figure this out. I'm going to wait for an opinion. Where's the smoking gun? Ha-cha-cha and all that stuff. They're going, okay, here's a location or here's GPS coordinates, and I want your assessment on this. That's all they want. They just, I give them a, you know, a survival scale of 0 to 10. And, you know, for me on that scale, anything 7.0 is better. Is survivable. And these folks are always 8.5 to 9.5. There's nothing in the U.S. to me that's a 10 because of our government. And that's all they want to know. And then, boom, they're off.
Right.
And these guys are building deluxe condominium survival shelters under deep underground, entry level, El Cheapo, $500,000. Most of them are doing $1 million. It's the same kind of condominium underground, except they bring the crews in from about 500 to 600 miles away at night and in blindfold, have them do the work on site and then return them so that they can't figure out where to go and dig you up instead of, you know, using local folks that could very well do that. Oh, yeah, I dug a bunker over there for that guy. You know, let's go dig him up. He's got 2 years of food.
Sure.
And so these folks are doing it. Now you ask them, they'll go, that's nonsense. Trust me, it's not nonsense. They buy my books, they talk to me, and I have to say, they're very impressive. They're very perceptive. They see what's coming down the pike, and they don't play any games.
Well, and it's not, I think, an accident that Elon Musk is now saying there may be a doomsday on the horizon. We better hurry up and get rockets going and get them fired up into space, because he's talking about nuclear weapons. He's talking about anomalies that may destroy the planet, environmental catastrophe, cataclysm. He even brings up religious extremism. He says that this will also throw us behind. He says, what happens if ISIS grows? And that's what he means by religious extremism, that, right. You know, ISIS may even get into the act of creating their own space program, or they may create missile programs and launching programs that, you know, will find us in a nuclear battle sometime soon. I mean, this is doom along with hope mixed together. Hopefully it's hope, but in the meantime, it's this mix now. As I said earlier, as you quoted from my article, we have science, religion, and we have a schism, and we have people, non-believers and believers, who are weighing the options. But most of the options are go underground, or at least find yourself, or at least try to hawk a ticket to get on one of these space capsules that'll take you away from here. We'll talk more about this. Marshall Masters with us tonight on Ground Zero. Already fascinating stuff coming from him tonight about, we're talking about Planet X, but we're also talking about other things and information about this race to get off the planet to find this alternate place to live or even go underground, because they know that something's coming, whether it be World War III, something else, perhaps a planet or a rogue asteroid or comet coming by.
There's another planet in the solar system that they called Nibiru that was captured and moves like a comet in a 3,600-year orbit. Our own astronomers know it's out there. They call it Planet X.
It's coming.
And today astronomers look for this planet. They call it Planet X.
God help us.
They call it Planet X.
Of what's going on in space and what's approaching us could be of great import in the next 5 years, 10 years.
What is it you want, Barry? What do you want? You want the moon?
Dance by the light of the moon.
Hey, that's a pretty good idea. I'll give you the moon, Barry. I'll give you the moon, Barry. Just say the word and I'll throw a lasso around it and pull it down. I'll give you the moon, Barry.
That's no moon.
They call it Planet X.
That's no moon.
They call it Planet X.
Because of love, God came down from his throne, from Nibiru, right? From Nibiru.
Dragon weapon, dry fire signal.
Space fence locked. Target's enemy fixed. Loaded drone operative.
Signal mark, your range is 10 miles now, sir. It's coming down through 200,000 feet.
10 miles, 200,000 feet, thank you.
Space fence signal Delta.
How can we see the visual?
Impacted 5-8-5-5 at the
by the light of the moon.
I'm Clyde Lewis. You're listening to Ground Zero. Tonight, Planet X, Nibiru, the destroyer planet. Have they found it? Have they found more than one? Well, another article from the Washington Post. I think this makes about three of them now, talking about Planet X and the possibility of it being found, or at least being named, by scientists. And tonight, Marshall Masters is here to go over with us some of the breaking story. Also, the story of Elon Musk saying that we need to get off the planet because something's about to go down. We don't know what's going to happen, but he says that either world war or religious fanaticism or something going on from space will render the planet useless. And so we need to find ways to get off the planet. We're also talking about the breakaway civilization. Marshall, you were saying that a lot of the, well, the Washington Post article you said was poison, was actually poison, or some of it's disinformation, or it's all disinformation.
It's poison pen. Okay. Actually, if you, you know, let me just kind of lay out what the story says for those who haven't read it yet.
Okay.
There's an observatory called ALMA in Chile. Now, this facility is an international facility. Our government does not have a controlling interest in it. All right. It's a minority partner. And so they're actually able to do real science down there. And this is, you know, this is an array of antennas. All right. And they're just, they're between radio and infrared in that spectrum. So this is something that infrared observatories are not going to see. They've spotted two objects way, way out at the edge of our heliosphere, all right, at a good distance. Now, what they're explaining is they say there's three possibilities for what they've discovered. A trans-Newtonian object, a super Earth, or an incredibly cold brown dwarf star. And this is something that has really come out of nowhere, out of the blue, and it's been a body slam to the most suppressive efforts of our government as well as the UK. That's where all this heavy suppression is coming from.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you get into the article itself, all right, you see the evidence of the attacks. Now, when they are trying to kill a story, and here's the thing, is that it's not that they have found these objects way out at the edge of our heliosphere. All right. What they have done is given legitimacy to the topic of Planet X. All right. And the last thing the elites want is for the topic of Planet X to have any sliver, morsel, crumb, or molecule of credibility. So now you have these astronomers out there who come out of the blue and go, I think we found Planet X. All right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, the reaction in the Washington Post tells me that, man, this had the lights on the Kremlin, as they used to say. All right? This really hit, and they are working really hard. And I have seen our government do incredibly suppressive and terrible things to keep the wraps on this story. Now, there people say our government is doing it because they don't want to scare us. No, our government's doing it because our government is owned by wealthy people. That's it. You know, we've been sold out, baby. All right?
Mm-hmm.
And what they really want to do is the vast majority of humankind is living where? Like you, along a coastline. Now, if you wake up and smell the Nibiru, and you go, it's time to go inland, time to get a little elevation, time to put a little dirt between me and a large body of water, and to get away from fracking areas and to get away from nuclear plants and these other threats, you've got a chance of surviving. They don't want you to do that. What they want is the maximum possible dieback of the human species, because that way it's controllable. All right. It's there are some folks call it Agenda 21. This is, you know, this was something I woke up to all of this back in 2004, and I've had to live with it ever since. And what you see them doing is extremely consistent with waiting for this planet to come in, reducing the population, and so that whoever does survive is so beaten down, they're able to go out and say, fine, now you're going to take the RFID chips. We're going to turn you into zombies, and we're going to rule the planet. That's really the game plan. And I know for a lot of people, it's like, I just can't believe that. I just can't believe that. But that's really what it is. Now, let's prove that, okay? If that's your plan, your plan is to make sure as many people remain in place for as long as possible so that they die along the coastlines, which are going to be the hardest hit by this. Then what you want to do is you want people to be going like UFOs. Well, yeah, I see the mountains of evidence, but I don't know. So I'm not going to do anything.
Mm-hmm.
All right? I'm going to sit on my tuchus. Now, I want to go in here and take some quotes out of the article. Now, as I do, there's the three Ds, okay? And the three Ds are denial, dismiss, and demean. Denial, dismiss, demean. Denial, dismiss, demean. This is the secret formula of disinformation, especially when you have to do emergency spin control. So whoever this Sarah Kaplan is, she's a pretty dark person. She's definitely a tool. Now, I want to talk about some of the terminology that she uses. And then she quotes this guy, Mike Brown from Caltech, who's the quote-unquote Pluto killer. And again, remember the three Ds, all right? So from this article, she goes, you know, for centuries, Planet X has eluded some of the most brilliant minds. It even destroyed one, subject of endless calculations and rampant speculation, crackpot theories, and countless hours gazing fruitlessly at the night sky. So she immediately sets it up in a very negative tone. With regards to the what these people have, and I have both studies. I've printed out the studies that are in the Journal of Astronomy and Astrophysics, all right? And what these guys are saying is what all astronomers say when they discover something. Hey, everybody, go take a look at it. Let's sort this out. We need help from our colleagues, all right? That's all they're saying. We have some possibilities here. Now, this is the way things go. For those out there who might remember back into the 1990s, in the early days of the Internet, we used to have British tabloids scaring the dickens out of us with asteroid could hit the Earth and boom, 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 boom.
Right.
Sold tons of newspapers for these schmucks. All right. Now, what happened was the astronomers were beginning to use the Internet, and they would find an asteroid and they would find one in an Earth crossing orbit. And they would say, well, there's like a 1 in 100 chance it could hit the Earth. Good enough for a British tabloid, sell a lot of paper. Scare a lot of people. Next thing you know, NASA's getting the, you know, the switchboards lighting up at NASA and everybody's asking questions. So what did NASA do to control this? Instead of going to the British government and saying, okay, you have the ability to muzzle this kind of nonsense in your press, do it. No. They went to the astronomers and said, if you want to keep your job, you want to keep your funding, you want to keep your tenure, you will report it to us, and you won't say anything until we tell you to say something. And they immediately instituted a program. So think about it. After the year 2000, you don't see any more of those UK headlines, asteroid could impact the Earth. It vanished. It stopped. What do you see now for headlines? Asteroid that could have hit the Earth flew by 3 days ago.
Sure.
Old story. Okay. So we already have in the astronomical community clear evidence that since 2000, NASA has been a suppression bully. And they have been suppressing free conversation of astronomers around the world because NASA is got the biggest checkbook. You know, the United States, when it comes to science funding, we are the 800-pound gorilla in the room. The reason why this story sneaked out of the ALMA observatory is that we don't have a controlling interest in there. We can't browbeat them with a checkbook or threaten them with all kinds of things. We can't say, we're going to audit, our IRS is going to audit you. Yeah, somebody from Japan there is going to go, so what?
Right.
Have fun.
Right.
All right? Now, she goes on and say, so both studies were submitted to the prestigious journal. Neither has been peer-reviewed or formally published. Duh. That's the process. So she's presenting the process as a way of demeaning these people. Remember the three Ds, all right? They're both based on limited observations, just two spottings apiece. They have garnered a great deal of skepticism with the astronomy community. Well, again, these were published, and I have the papers, and what the guys are saying is, we saw this, hey, everybody jump on, let's be good scientists, and let's sort it out.
Right.
All right. And then she introduces this guy, Mike Brown, all of which sounds pretty cool unless you're Mike Brown, a Caltech astronomer who spent the majority of his career scanning the farthest reaches of the solar system for just these kinds of objects. Well, Mike Brown is on the government payroll, okay? So the same people who want to suppress the story are paying for his kids' orthodontia, and, you know, that's the way that goes. And it goes on, and he says, Jonathan McDowell, an astronomer with the Harvard Smithsonian Center for Astrophysics, told Gizmo it was a considerable stretch to claim an outer system object has been found based on the information and the reports. There could be problems with the ALMA instruments or other explanations for the blips that form the basis of the report. So they're already on a fishing trip for nonsense here.
Well, and not only
the
that.
The 3Ds, denial,
yes.
Right?
Uh-huh.
There you go.
Denial, dismissal, demean. You know, it's funny because they did the same thing with those microbursts that happened a few weeks ago. Scientists were well on the way to saying, we have made communication. We picked up something from space, these sounds. And then immediately I got some post on my Facebook page saying, they were just gamma bursts. You're going crazy for nothing. It depends on what you believe. And I think a lot of scientists would be excited to know about Planet X, would keep this alive, while the others, of course, and some of the writers, like you say, would want to demean and dismiss the story because it's uncomfortable to talk about something like Planet X. Tonight, Marshall Masters with us talking about Planet X. If it's uncomfortable, we're talking about it anyway. Keep it here on Ground Zero. 888-673-3700. We'll be back. Tonight, Washington Post publishes an article saying that scientists in Chile have found what may be Planet X, maybe two of them. Marshall Masters on to comment about it, but throughout the entire article, they dismiss, demean, and they try to debunk the entire thing, as well as report it, and it kind of sends a confusing message. We're trying to decipher what the truth is within all the disinformation, and Marshall was describing it to us. Is there anything in that article that's redeemable? Only the kernel of truth is that they did discover something at the ALMA, and they'll probably never know exactly what they discovered?
The redeemable thing about this article is that this is one of the most patented propaganda disinformation body slams of suppression I have seen in a very long time. Something like this only happens when the people who don't want us to know get blindsided and they respond. I mean, let me give you just a couple other things. We talked about some of the, you know, dismissive tones, but here was the real key for me was that in this article, this guy says, you know, no Planet X researcher was more beleaguered than Percival Lowell, who launched into the search of an object, distant object, in an attempt to redeem himself after he became a laughingstock for just suggesting that aliens might be building canals on Mars. And Lowell spent years photographing the night sky. Well, Lowell was the American father of Planet X research, all right? And all of a sudden, we got these guys in Chile who are finding objects at the edge of the solar system. And what are we doing in this article? They're smearing Percival Lowell, who's been well regarded. This guy was, wealthy Bostonian. He built an observatory in Flagstaff, Arizona. Clyde Tombaugh discovered Pluto there, okay? And they said he's a laughing stock for suggesting that aliens might be building. They call him a laughing stock. They're humiliating a dead man. What has that got to do with what's happening at ALMA in Chile? Someone tell me. All right. Then they go in terms of Clyde Tombaugh, who's been a very well-respected name in astronomy, because this guy really didn't have that fantastic a telescope and he discovered Pluto. They said a farm kid named Clyde Tombaugh. A farm kid. This is a man who discovered a planet is being called a farm kid. All right. Now, what they have to do, because remember, This isn't a big story about what's been discovered. This is about the elites being blindsided with a legitimate Planet X story when they don't want anybody to have a legitimate conversation. They don't want people like you looking at this and saying, what am I seeing here? They want you to go, nothing to see here. Move along.
Well, see, and that is one of the reasons why I wanted to, with the article that I produced tonight, I wanted to kind of enhance some of the background that where Planet X has been shown to be a definite possibility. You know, they've been called the hypothetical planets or the or something like that. But there have been ancient writings, biblical writings, words like olam, olamin, all talking about these spheres in space where the gods dwell or where God dwells himself. And that's why I was thinking, well, if you don't listen to the Bible in the old text, you listen to all this demeaning nonsense, it's not going to work. Marshall, we got to take a break. We'll be back with more. Sure. Don't go away. Tonight, Marshall Masters with us talking about Planet X walking in Nibiru Wonderland on Ground Zero. Don't go away. 3700 tonight, Marshall Masters on the program. If you have any questions about Planet X, the reason why I bring up Planet X now is because, well, there are a number of reasons why. We're getting into the mindset of the new Star Wars is coming out this weekend. And, of course, they've had their share of Death Stars or planets that can destroy other planets. Planet X is one of those planets, if you believe in the Nibiru Cataclysm and the works of Zachariah Sitchin, then you know well enough that if Planet X is out there, it certainly would wreak havoc upon the planet. Now, there's been an article that was released in the Washington Post 3 days ago. It stated that a number of scientists actually found two planets that fit the description of this mythological or hypothetical Planet X. And now science has decided that they are going to fight, or at least try to dismiss, demean, and debunk all these findings that were released for peer review. And now we're trying to ascertain whether or not this is all disinformation or if there's any truth to the idea that there are planets out there or some that may be Planet X. Now, it's a very frightening thing to say this because many people believe that Planet X is a planet that every 3,600 years or so comes by the Earth, and when it does, it causes all kinds of cataclysm. We have Marshall Masters with us here. Now, you know, apart from the article, is there anything that you could tell me that would be a sure sign or a number of signs that Planet X is out there and they're keeping it quiet?
Wow. I mean, I just have tons of videos. We just, you know, posted recent updates. We have observation videos. I detail step by step how we analyze the images. It's behind the sun right now. It's very difficult to observe. You have to catch it at the right place at the right time. But there's ways to go through and analyze all the imagery. And we had one guy actually is a digital photography instructor who captured an image as he was flying past the equator at 30,000 feet, which happens to be one of the best places for getting these observation photos. And he got a picture of Nibiru with wings, which tells us that this thing's starting to get closer because it has a large dust field on it. We detail that, you know, quite extensively in my video, the Planet X System Update. And I see that you have it in there in your Facebook, and I thank you for that. There's also another article in there, Planet 7X Theories versus Zachariah Sitchin. And that's really kind of appropriate because you've mentioned Sitchin quite often tonight. And the same thing we're seeing with these astronomers in Chile, where there's this character assassination of deny, demean, dismiss. The same thing's happening. This guy Broussard is doing the same thing on Zachariah Sitchin, and he's trashing Sitchin's work as well. And then you see this article from the Washington Post. They're trashing Percival Lowell and Clyde Tombaugh. Percival Lowell is the American father of Planet X research, which, by the way, dates back to the discovery of Uranus. All right. So this has been going on for a very long time. And astronomers in Europe and the United States have been looking for basically Neptune's perturber for a very long time. And Lowell really took it on. So all of a sudden, you know, we see Gil Broussard, this Planet 7X guy, is trashing Sitchin, who wrote The 12th Planet, about Nibiru, translated the Sumerian text. Then we see this poison pen article in the the Washington Post, with this guy who is definitely a government stooge. And he is trashing not only these astronomers in Chile, but he's dragging in people who are not even related to the thing and trashing them. Percival Lowell and Tombaugh. So if you want evidence that something's coming, look at what they're doing to trash the people who have devoted lifetimes of honest, serious work with great integrity and great passion into the field. You know, you can't, there's that great line from the movie Gladiator, you can't kill you until they kill your name. Okay? And that's what's happening here. And I see this going on. So whether you have, you know, this guy Broussard who's trashing Sitchin, or you have this Yutz who's out there trashing Percival Lowell, or you have this writer for the Post who's trashing these astronomers because of only one reason. The government of the United States cannot put the kibosh on them. And that's the only thing.
Yeah, I was on your website reading an article about how you two and several people on your site were fascinated by this recent Pepsi video that came out about about Black Knight. What are your thoughts on the Black Knight? Do you see this as predictive programming for some communication, whether it be with Anunnaki or with the Black Knight, or maybe even with a planet or some sort of asteroid?
It is predictive. We call it foreshadowing, and we're seeing a steady pattern of foreshadowing where you're bringing it out. And it's not so much that the elites are doing it to prepare us for this big message, okay? They have a rule book, all right? They have to know that they could say, we told you so. You know, why weren't you, quote unquote, perceptive? You see, on the spiritual side, all right, and when I'm talking to people who have had dreams, visions, and premonitions about what's coming since they were children, most of them are between 45 to 65, God-fearing, wonderful people, professionals, honest, work, you know, everyday working folks, okay? Mm-hmm. They're not living under bridges, all right? And they've been having dreams, visions, and premonitions. Now, that we call awareness. Because they're out doing the research and reading the web pages, reading the astronomy. They're looking for answers, all right? Perception is what the elites say, because there's nothing spiritual about what they do. Simply, if you're smart enough to see it, you deserve to die. Or, you deserve to live, but they would prefer that you die. And these things that they're doing is not necessarily to prepare us for what's coming. It's to give them an excuse, a way to get off the hook for basically letting, you know, leading people like lemmings off of a cliff. And that's exactly what's happening.
Well,
so we see that. That's further evidence of it. But look what's happening at our planet. Right now we have 40 volcanoes actively erupting right now. 40. Now, when I first started doing this work, the pattern was in a year's time, a year, you'd have 25 volcanoes erupting. But you didn't have 25 at one time, and you never had more than 25. Now we have 40 erupting at one time, and we have the ash that's shutting down air traffic. We just published an article on our site called Signs, and we track the signs. And my gosh, I mean, we were so inundated with so much information about very, very alarming signs of what's happening to the planet that we couldn't get it all into the article.
Well, I was reading, a long time, you know, you've heard these people who talk about Planet X were saying, here's some definite signs of Planet X is arriving, and they talk about volcanism, and they say an increase in volcanism, an increase of the magnetic pull or changing the magnetic structure of the planet so that the core would actually push more magma to the top, And someone else had pointed out, though, and Anthony Patch, who I've worked with about CERN, he's saying that CERN is attempting to make communication either with Saturn or some other heavenly body. And what I just read, I think it was like 6 days ago, that they finally said at the Large Hadron Collider that they're thinking that there will be gravity that will leak into a parallel universe. And they're thinking, they are confident they're going to be able to make contact with a parallel universe with all the power they've been throwing out there. And we've already speculated the magnetic field could be open, so we have a conduit to either some rogue planet out there or even Saturn. What are your thoughts on that?
I agree with the guys who did the theoretical science that CERN is based on. And if those sciences, literally one of them from India, he went on and he said they don't know what the F they are doing.
Right.
And he's the guy who wrote the theoretical science that they're basing CERN on.
But do you think they're trying to communicate? Just, I mean, this is a God communicator as well as a God particle creator, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's just flat God-awful. That's what it is. I mean, this machine, if it goes wrong,
right,
it could just do.
Well,
it could be the end of the planet.
Well, frankly, we all have talked about the doomsaying with CERN and the power of CERN, how it could wipe out the planet. But now it's getting even creepier when they say that they can have gravity leak into another dimension, open a hole to speak with someone on the other side. We've had Anthony Patch do his research saying that they could create a conduit with magnetic field, sending it up to another planet. And you know, here you go. Now, this sounds really cranky, okay? It sounds really bizarre. But just the idea they could open a portal and talk with gods or talk with other beings from parallel universes. And so either we're aiming it at Saturn, or we're aiming it at Jupiter, or we're aiming it at Planet X. Who knows? But there's always one. Let's go back to the Olamim theory and the idea that religion is thrown into the mix. This is how we find out how we eliminate faith completely, and we put God in a jar. And we tell people this is what you should worship, is this God in a jar that we created. And we've done so by either communicating with some rogue planet or the planet where God resides, just like the Tower of Babel, just like all the other experiments that have done this. And immediately we are tampering with the forces of nature, and we're tampering with the communication aspects of saying, hey, God, let's give you a nudge, and you come down raining off your planet and you destroy everything. This is what I mean, you look at this and it sounds crazy. I can't even believe I'm saying this, but here you have CERN saying this. We have you on talking about Planet X. We have these researchers in Chile that are being debunked, demeaned, and just basically thrashed in the media for discovering these two planets, saying now that we're basically a trinaural system rather than a binaural system. It's amazing how this is all coming down. Marshall Masters with us tonight on Ground Zero. If you have any questions, 888-673-3700. That's 888-673-3700. The universe is getting wild. Science fiction has become science fact. And everything we're saying tonight sounds crazy, but pay attention. Things are changing from CERN to Planet X to all of the things we once thought were myths, now transpiring right here. Keep it here on Ground Zero. Ground Zero, Marshall Masters with us tonight. So glad to have him on the program. I mean, it's, I don't know, it's weird how, as I said earlier, the science fiction, science fact thing, timing is everything, right? And, you know, one of the things, too, you were talking about the volcanism, and I remember reading that volcanism would be a factor. Talking about CERN possibly opening up portals to talk with dimensional beings, either on Saturn or Nibiru or wherever they want to talk to them. Another thing that really is an interesting factor particle with regards to Planet X is the sweeper effect. Now, we've talked about the sweeper effect before with rogue asteroids that come near the planet. And the last time we had a really big one going over, we had a problem at Chelyabinsk, Russia, where we had an exploding fireball that if it got any closer to the city, it would have killed everybody. You know, what about the idea of fireballs and other extraterrestrial NEOs coming to the planet? We see would you see more fireballs and things like this too?
We're already seeing them. We just published in our article that statistically we're turning it. Yeah, we're in a time of the year when you're supposed to have meteor showers, but this is astronomical. Our statistical trending incorporated that based on prior years. Last month it went off the chart. It's been growing on a fairly steady basis because this system is going to be pushing objects in front of it and pulling objects behind it. It's, you know, like a pull me, pull you from Dr. Doolittle. Mm-hmm. And right now, what we're seeing is this dramatic increase both in earthquakes, and we're seeing a dramatic increase in meteors lighting up the sky, particularly the large ones, the bolides. Mm-hmm. And this is really, you know, this is indicative of something coming in, perturbing the system. Our sun has been acting very bizarre. So the signs of what is coming are clearly out there.
What are your opinions?
People just have to look.
Right. What are your opinions on Velikovsky and the electric universe? Because I've seen at times when we've had fireballs actually come down out of the sky where there have been earthquakes that precede these fireballs, where the earth shakes and the fireballs come overhead. And some people say it's because of the fact that maybe Velikovsky had it partly correct, that we have both gravity and the electric universe to deal with, and that is why we're seeing volcanoes. That is why we're seeing these fireballs and earthquakes accompanying them, because the magnetic field is being perturbed by a pulling force from out in space. That pulling force could very well be something like Nibiru or something else. What do you say to that?
I say you've really defined it very well. You know, what a lot of people don't know was that Albert Einstein was reading Velikovsky's book when he passed away. They found it on his desk, and he and Velikovsky and Einstein corresponded significantly. And Velikovsky was completely body slammed by science. Very much the same kind of tactics that we're seeing used against the guys in Alma right now, the way they're being trashed, except with Velikovsky, it went a step further. They actually were going out to the universities and saying, or to the publisher of Velikovsky's books and to universities, they're saying, we're going to pull the carpet out from underneath you. All right. And so you're not going to support this. And they completely, I mean, it was just mafia suppression of what Velikovsky said. And yet, you know, Velikovsky, to me, is a Tesla kind of character. Mm-hmm. He endures the test of time. People come back to it. Not all of his ideas were spot on, but the big ideas that were really important. And I'm glad to see that he's getting the respect for that.
Well, I would agree. I don't think what's really interesting is, being a Fortean as I am, I feel that Velikovsky needs to be mentioned a lot more. And I think that Tesla needs to be mentioned a lot more.
We get absolutely.
And William Reich and all these others that have been I guess you could call them godfathers of what they now call pseudo or weird science, only because of the fact it's inconvenient and uncomfortable science that certainly explains a lot of things when we read, and it does explain a lot more than what we have as what we call contemporary science, and the idea that contemporary science has the facts and there's no way to question them or weigh against them, because science is becoming more and more like with climate change becoming more like a cult more than science, where there's no debate. If you try to debate or try to show something else, you're immediately looked at as being a denier, and some are even arrested now. There was a guy, some talk show host in London, who was speaking, and he said something bad about the climate summit, and he was arrested. So I really, it's kind of weird now that you can be a scientific heretic, because as I said earlier, politics and your science and your religion seem to be all clashing together, and it gets to a point where science is the religion and that politics is the new religion. And so people are rejecting God for the idea of what's out there. Let's explore it. Let's open up a portal. Let's talk with somebody. Let's try to bring the planets closer and have them collide. It's just really creepy. Marshall Masters with us on Ground Zero. Coming up, you're going to hear a really, really bad song. Although Marshall likes it. But we're going to play.
I love it. All right, I love it. You'll love it, too.
All right. We'll be back with more.
FM News 101 KXL.
Okay, we're going to interrupt this show for just a second. Okay. We're interrupting this show. Now, you know, sometimes radio is improvisational, right, Marshall? I mean, you've been in the business. You've been at CNN. You know how it goes, right?
Absolutely.
Okay. So, you know, you know what I've been doing behind the scenes. And, you know, things are improvisational. And so I came up with this idea. And some of the listeners chipped in, too, the ones on Facebook, to come up with this idea to do a song, Walking in Nibiru Wonderland. And so I decided that I would just hurry and cut it, and I'd like to thank the guys in L.A. for giving me this opportunity to just... Now, keep in mind, this is one take. No background singers, no nothing. It's just pure, raw song. So here we go. This is Walking in Nibiru Wonderland. Here we go. Planet X. What's the deal? NASA says, it ain't real. Look up in the sky. We're all gonna die. Walking in Nibiru Wonderland. Earth is doomed. Are you listening? Now the atmosphere, it's missing. You know, we were right. The government lied. Walking in Nibiru Wonderland. Now you know that we're really doomed, man. Even though they say that we're okay. Does it really matter if we're doomed, man? Just max your credit cards and do not pay. Later on, we'll perspire as we burn in the hellfire. All the plans that we made can be thrown away. Walking in Nibiru Wonderland. Yeah, yeah, okay. And the sad news is I wasn't drunk.
I love it.
You like it? Really?
I do. You know?
It's Marshall.
I want a coffee.
It's Marshall Masters approved.
Absolutely.
And I only did it like...
It's safe for you.
It's safe. I did it like in 2 minutes, so give me a break. No, I'm just kidding. I mean, people say, that's horrible. I usually sing better than that when I do karaoke, but I mean, hey. It's one of those nights where, you know, you just wanted to be improvisational, and so I did so. Hey, Marshall, we're going to go to some calls because people are really, really chomping at the bit to talk to you. Let's go down to Arnold. Thank you. My producer's smiling, giving the thumbs up. That's awesome. Let's go to Arnold in Florida. You're on Ground Zero.
Yes, hi.
Hi. Hi. You're on with Marshall Masters.
I'm enjoying the show.
Thank you.
I've been kind of watching this out of one eye for quite a while, too, and I was really waiting for some meat of the coconut from Mr. Marshall Masters. He knows, I dare venture to say, a lot more than he's sharing tonight.
I'm asking the wrong questions. What questions do you have, Arnold? Why don't you give us a real deep one and see if you'll answer?
You all mentioned the Washington Post article. Well, the initial article in the Washington Post was in 1983.
That's
where
right.
Robert Harrington and his team found this planet way the heck out there. And I guess Washington Post really screwed up by putting that in print because they put a lid on it for about the next 10 or 12 years real quick. So there's really no doubt from all of the information that's on the internet now, that from some really, really good sites, one that's handled by Nancy Leader, she's got three different sites, and the one I was looking at this afternoon for a couple of hours at the library was poleshiftming.com, and there's no question that Nibiru, according to everything I'm looking at, that Nibiru entered our solar system in 2003, and it's been chugging toward us. And yes, it's about 4 or 5 times our size, maybe 24, 25 times our mass, and it's causing these earthquakes all around the world. But it's also causing our tectonic plates to shift and maybe open up some cracks, and it's releasing methane gas up through the oceans and into the atmosphere, and their birds are falling out of the sky by the tens of thousands. Porpoises and fish are dying by the hundreds of thousands and washing up on beaches all around the world. Railroad derailments, it doesn't take much of a tectonic plate to shift a little bit for a track to get out of whack by 2 inches, and there goes the train off the track. But they're on the pole shifting site, they have like 100 pages of just earthquakes, and then over 100 pages of train derailments, mudslides, sinkholes. It's definitely adversely affecting us. There's something out there just tugging like crazy.
Marshall?
And the internet,
What, Marshall, one moment. Marshall, what do you have to say about what Arnold's saying? It sounds like he's done some really interesting research. What do you say about what he's talking about?
He's tracking the right signs. He's looking what's the first thing you have to do is what's happening to the Earth, because that's the consequences for us. All right. But we've looked out. All the other planets out there are perturbed in some way or another. Every atmosphere in our solar system is showing weird behaviors and have for quite some time. And so this object has been approaching and well before 2003. You know, of astronomer, and you mentioned him in your article, and I'm so glad you did, because I love this guy, Carlos Ferrada. And he was the first astronomer to talk about Planet X in 1940.
Right.
Okay. And this guy predicted that massive earthquake that hit Chile. He was only off by a few minutes. He was absolutely brilliant. All right. So, but you know, one of the things in this poison pen article by Sarah Kaplan, this woman just, she's like, it's like, I'm just one, I look at that name and I can see somebody's head turning around 360 degrees and spitting pea soup. And,
okay.
So it's graphic. But she says,
okay.
She says right at the top, for centuries, Planet X has eluded some of the most brilliant minds in astronomy. Some say it even destroyed one. Okay, that statement alludes to Harrington, okay, U.S. naval astronomer who wrote a brilliant paper on Planet X, who appeared in a video with Zachariah Sitchin showing his orbital illustration. This guy had a special purpose telescope made for a sky survey to go look for this thing, and then had it shipped to United States Naval Observatory in New Zealand that was operational at the time. Now, they did the sky survey. All the plates were returned, went to NASA, and it was buried. And not long after that, what happens to Harrington? He dies a very mysterious death from a cancer that is known to be used in targeted assassinations.
That's bizarre.
Yeah.
Well, Arnold, I thank you for your call. It was amazing stuff. Marshall is saying that you're doing your homework, and that's awesome.
That's right. You get a big gold star there.
It's an interesting topic.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. Thank you very much. I'm glad you approve of it. And Arnold, thank you.
Maybe Marshall could just mention that not only is Nibiru coming, but it's inhabited, according to Zachariah Sitchin, with the Anunnaki.
And according to me. Yes,
and the Anunnaki.
And they're coming for women and gold.
Okay. Arnold, thank you for the call. Women in gold. Okay. That's almost a Christmas song. Women in gold. No more damn parodies. Just shut me up. Ben in Kentucky, you're on ground zero. Go ahead.
Yes, despite that song, I held on. It was great. My question, actually, on the I'll get banned. Sumerian text and the God particle reminded me of something that was mentioned in the Bible called an object called, or a star called, Wormwood. And I was just wondering if you thought that if that was kind of like a prophecy of something like Nibiru.
That's a good point.
You heard of it?
Marshall, what about Wormwood being Nibiru? I've heard a lot of people theorize that that's Nibiru. What do you say about that, Marshall?
What I say, I mean, first off, guys, I'm a secular researcher,
yes.
So I'm agnostic as to Bible. But what I will say is, over the years, what I have come to see about the Bible is it is a bigger Planet X primer than people give it credit for being. I'll give you a good example. In the story of Exodus, all right, that was the last flyby of the Planet X system. That's what caused the 10 plagues of Exodus. And the ancient Egyptians and the ancient Hebrews both called it the same thing. They called it the destroyer, all right? Depending on which translation of the Holy Bible you get, It will actually use the correct term, which is destroyer. And I see so much of it coming. We have a little book that we published, Planet X and the Colburn Bible Connection, and it connects this ancient wisdom text of the Egyptians with the Bible. And it's really stunning, the correlations. And so, if you're going to study Planet X, you really do need to pick up your Bible.
There you go, Ben. And it's coming from a secular science guy, so that's pretty good. Appreciate the call. Let's go now to John in Virginia. John, you're on with Marshall Masters. Go ahead.
Hi, Clyde.
Hey.
Pleasure speaking to you and Marshall. This subject is very dear to me because, excuse me, when I was in college, I had a professor that taught a course called Religion is History. And he had a brother who was an astrologist. And the two of them together said that they believed that Planet X was the home of God, and that if God got to the point where he was dissatisfied with the human race, instead of destroying it with a flood, he would destroy it with Planet X. And he was very meaning on this. He really believed it. And he was one of the best professors I ever had in college. And the poor man, the president of Virginia, made him stop preaching, or not preaching, but teaching anything about Planet X because no one had ever proved that there was a Planet X. And now this was in the late 60s. And he and his brother, who was astrologist, thought that Planet X held a very strong religious format. And I wonder what Marshall thinks about that.
Well, first off, I want to say for this man, I honor his courage, and I thank you for standing up for him, okay? What he did at that time was courageous. And in terms of, our history, that was the reason why Zachariah Sitchin got involved. He wanted to find out, who are we? How did we come to be? If there's one book by Sitchin you guys want to read out there, it's The Lost Book of Enki, because it is the autobiography of Lord Enki of the Anunnaki. And, for those, it may come as a shocker, but Lord, Enki is the missing link. We literally, as a species, came from his loins. And if you read this book, it reads like Game of Thrones with aliens, horny aliens, and spaceships. All right?
It sounds like if George Lucas did American Graffiti and Star Wars and melded them together, that's what you'd have.
Absolutely.
Yeah, now I heard that were giants.
Oh, yeah.
With the whole thing.
The Nephilim?
And the thing is that the Anunnaki tried to destroy humankind not once but twice. Once by withholding information of what we know as Noah's flood. That was actually a pole shift event caused by a previous flyby of the Planet X system. And that information was withheld from human beings at that time to decimate their numbers. Then the next time that they tried to kill us, Enlil, which was another Anunnaki lord at that time on the Earth, used nuclear weapons against us.
And that was
I see these people write, the Anunnaki are friends. They're going to come and do nice things for us, this, that, and the other thing. Man, as far as they're concerned, we're expired lab rats.
Yeah. John, I appreciate the call. Thank you. Yeah, I've always wondered about, the whole idea of let's welcome the aliens with open arms. And then Childhood's End makes it on the Sci-Fi Channel. I want people to watch that just so they can see just how aliens operate and what they do. I mean, Arthur C. Clarke, I think, had it right. And so did Charles Fort, actually, saying that we're part of some pantry and they take us for their own usages and maybe even use us for food. Kind of crazy, but true. Marshall Masters with us tonight on Ground Zero. 888-673-3700. That's 888-673-3700. Tonight, Planet X, and we explore the possibilities. A new article And the Washington Post has got a lot of people thinking about Planet X, as research in Chile may have discovered two planets that fit the bill. 888-673-3700. We'll be back.